you were born.
Well, I was born in Oakland.
Born in
Oakland. December 9, 1909. We lived there until I was old enough to go to school again. I went to school in the old school at Hazleton by that, St. Peter Church? That's where I first go to school. Mm-hmm. I was school there for a few years, and then we moved up to Glen Valley School that year. In about 1919 or something like that, and I was at Kispiak, and I go to school in Kispiak. And that's where I finished. I didn't even finish the old Canadian Grade 4. The old Canadian Grade 4, it's something like about 6 or 7 on this new books to have now. That was it.
What school like?
Cold. The school was good. The only trouble, the problem we had there is the buildings were real. And then none of those buildings were rated. Only made out of 2-ply boards. The only insulation they have in there, there's wallpaper and a tar paper outside, I think. They also have a wood stove, wood heater. When it's cold weather, we have to gather around.
When you were in Hazleton, was there any school in that school when you went into Hazleton?
Yeah, the same. They were the same.
What about the white people in Hazleton? There was, did they go to school
there? Weren't any.
Any?
No, there weren't any amongst our school there. It's all native people. Same way at Glenval, same way at Kispiak. And I don't even remember whether they had a white people school in Hazleton. There's the only one school that I know.
The teachers were white?
Yeah. There wasn't that very many, too many white people then. Very few. Except in the certain children, that is it, and the teachers.
This is a tape on Bobby Stevens, July 19, 1987, Kispiak Village.
I was born at 1931, March 29th, 1931. I was born at Kispiak, in Kispiak. In them days they don't rush you to the hospital or anything at all. There was no taxi or anything based. The only transportation they had in place were a team of horses. By the time you try to get to Hazleton as a pregnant woman, then you have a baby on the back of your wagon. It's a little time to get there. And they don't have no services or telephone. The only place where they have maybe a phone would be a missionary house. They have used to have an old missionary here, and that's where the preachers, ministers, I mean, the minister, the United States, church ministers live in. And they do have services here every Sundays. Because there was only one denomination here that started off. It's just these Pentecostal church has just been not, I mean, wasn't in progress in them days, but this United Church. But like I was saying, I've been brought up in the home where in a place where people go out and hunt most of the time. They go and trap. My late father has a trap line, Stevens Lake they call it right now. And where he usually go out and hunt before Christmas and all that. But, I don't go to school regularly, and that's the only thing that we can do. There was all them, there was no such thing as an odd meal, but there won't be that much work available for every person to go and try and earn money. So it's maybe the, and my father wasn't that young, he was getting pretty old, but he was still available to go out and trap a few furs, like martens and things like that. And they get a little bit for them. The only place where they can go and get food is maybe in Hazelton. They used to have Sharks, they call the place, and Myers and Smith, they used to have a store, and the Hudson Bay right now, they're still there. But they used to allow them to go and get all of the groceries to go out and hunt. They know what's their trade, they know trades. When they come home and they go and sell them their fares, like either one of them, whoever else can give them credit at that time. But mostly the Bay usually do that. They do a lot of buying fares. That's about the only trade that I can think of what my father did in them days. He did own a few places, but as he was getting old, he couldn't hang on to them. And after a while, that I was pretty young when my father died. My mother had to look after us, and my eldest brother, Monty, and then Dace, as goes along, they were cutting poles, like telephone poles and grass and all that. They were buying them poles. Time, and that was mostly my kind of work when I grew up, cutting poles, peeling them right out in the bush. They have contractors there that goes and hires. In the summertime, like now, they don't go and haul these poles in the summertime, wintertime, because the only time when they can do it is when the road is dry, because there's not much of work, I mean, on the roads, because the government was looking after them, but they will have to eat. wait till it really dries out, and then they start hauling the railroad track there. That's when they start. Well, there's a place in Smithers where they buy horses, and they call a company, but he buys horses there, but he leaves them at the, he let the contractors here leave them by the sidetrack, either Newtown. Days when my mother looking after us, she had to go. No widow pensions or anything in them days, and there was no welfare or anything at all. There was absolutely nothing. You had to bloody well scratch for it. We'd go out fishing, trout, everything. And what we can get. Mostly times when my mother was still strong enough, she used to go out and set snares for rabbits. And then that's the meat that we used to have. Well, we enjoyed it anyway. We enjoyed life. It's just like me versus William. Small when her father died. As you go along, I started out looking for a job myself when I was about 14 years old. And that's when I started. I left school because I could not go and try and go to school. The only people that have their kids school are the ones that are working, that can afford them. But after a while I just left school. In the summertime I go down and work most of the time in the canneries. That's about the only thing I can say. Like I was telling you about, in them days, the people were pretty well disciplined. They were disciplined because they listened to elderly people that tells them something, tells them not to do this and not to do that, and most of the time I heard it, even though I was. And I started drinking too when I was pretty young. I was pretty young when I started drinking. I was my own. It's a big time hero. I figured I was in my own, this and that. Yet I was maybe about 15, 16. But as I go along life, it got worse there. Alcohol got the best of me after a while. I control it, just like what the people are doing now. Some people go on weeks and weeks drinking, couldn't discipline themselves, and yet they figure they're doing the right thing, showing their kids. When I started getting married, I was about 18 or 19. It was no life, it was no life for our family because I can't discipline myself because I'm kind of drinking. Maybe when I go out and work and maybe I go and blow my check, and that's about it. I can't control myself. But as the years go by, to a place I had to come from. I got sick after a while. I had this disease that they call epilepsy, and a lot worse when I'm drinking and all that. And finally, on account of that, I had kids. I had a lot of kids then. My first wife left me. Left me with all the kids and took off. Because on account of my sickness, I guess, just tired of my life. But I got converted after a while. I got converted into a church. I had to meet God before I disciplined myself. And the only way out of drinking, I think, well, I know, that's what my testimony is. But as for the history about white people, I think that they get along with, what I was saying, just a few places where they are prejudiced. But as for the people of Whiteland and Hazleton District and all over, they get along. They know them pretty well. As for the farmers, they get along with them. There's no hard feelings against them. But maybe there's some odd ones that, you know, just like the Indians itself. There might be some hard fella that you can't tell nothing. But as for that, they get along with the neighborly well. When they go and kill their kids, they come around here and they sell meat to the Indians. They know that the natives are always, well, they always have money. They're hard workers. They don't come. There's maybe just a few that after the liquor is allowed to the Indians started going around bumming, eh? Like what I was saying. In them days they have maybe a party and then just one night and they don't go on and on drinking. But after a while the liquor starts coming in, and that's when people can't control themselves. They can't control themselves. After the liquor is allowed to be, they started drinking. They used to allow them in the beer parlor before. And they sit there till they pass out. Maybe they go throw them out when they pass out, and I guess it's getting worse, and they're getting more work done in the beer parlors then. So they allow them home with their beer. And as I was telling you there, that no such thing as any hard feelings amongst the people, the young people, they get along pretty well. But as the years go on, drinking has got the best of them. Dope started coming in. No such thing as that in my days. My young days, my teenage days. Worst. Just got to hug it. But another trait that the Indians have is going fishing. They go down fishing all the time, every summer. Like now, at the time being, there's hardly anything. the houses are all nailed up. Eh? They're away from the sun. There might be just a few families that are left behind. But the whole family would move right down to the coast, and there's a lot of canneries down there, operation then, and there's a lot of work for them, and that they have to go make their living and make their money, as money as they can. They're good fishermen. They all are good fishermen. And the managers knew them. And they're mostly all Indian fishermen down there, and Japanese fishermen. You hardly see a white man going around fishing. I mean, you know, down there, maybe just a boat or here or there. But it was mostly all. And they used to just pull the net by hand. And they don't have the equipment that they have now, that you can just stand and watch the net roll in now. But it was just hand pulling. And they have to use their strength to use that. Sailboat, that's when they started off. They didn't have no motorboats. They had to sailboats, they called them. As the years go on, I guess they have better ways of fish and all that. They evaluate these sailboats and all these other things. And they have 5-day fishing at that. 5 days fishing, and that's a long time. And they have a lot of, when there's a lot of fishing, when the humpbacks started running, and they put in hours, and then it's there and just hand filling them with hands. Eh? And the fastest one, it's contract work. It's the fastest woman gets all the money. Stuff of money, and they work too. And they're some of them really faster than the machines now. They really can fish. And some of them are around. Mrs. Morrison here, and Mary Johnson. Lottie, them ladies there, they know can hand filling cans.